Hello and welcome to the special Christmas edition of Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. The news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. We start with news of an ancient find in Montana in the USA, and also the Bronze Age is challenging a wind farm in Cumbria. Reindeer bones are examined in France and the Czech Republic, and a historian's race to preserve an ancient Scottish site succeeds. Swiss eBay stops the sale of a 4,000-year-old Iraqi treasure with seconds on the clock, and a mysterious Neolithic structure is unearthed in Orkney. Archaeologist Stephen Arberg was surprised with the results of radiocarbon dating tests just completed on samples taken from trenches dug in Alkali Creek in Montana, USA. The earliest sample of charcoal was collected from a hearth uncovered 25 centimetres below the surface and was calculated to be around 1,000 years old. About 40 centimetres below that, archaeologists found a piece of charcoal which could be 7,000 to 8,000 years old, also found alongside a fragment of a narrow projectile point characteristic of that period. Arberg was hired by the State Department of Transportation to document an area in preparation for rebuilding Airport Road. In 2005, he walked both sides of the Alkali Creek Road that would be included in the project, looking for signs of early human occupation, and found enough on the surface to warrant digging meter-square test pits. The site ended up being really substantially large. Arberg's report found that the road project would have significant impact on the archaeological site, which prompted the excavation in 2007 to document the archaeology before the bulldozers started moving in. Archaeology teams found cutting tools, stone knives, broken projectile points, animal bones and pebble cores, the characteristically scarred rocks left over after flakes had been chipped off to make tools. The first major feature was a hearth that proved to be over 1,000 years old. Its builders had dug a pit, and within it there were fire-cracked rocks and an abundance of charcoal. Below the first pit, they found a second hearth of almost identical construction. The second hearth was dated to 2,600 years. Evidence suggests that these hearths probably were used to heat rocks that would have been dropped into separate cooking pits filled with water for boiling the food. The Alkali Creek site presented archaeologists with a rare treasure, up to 15 acres of pristine ground rich in artifacts in the middle of a metropolitan area that has never been touched by a plough or residential or commercial development. Other cities have turned such resources into parks and cultural attractions, though I'm afraid not here. Controversial wind farm plans have been blown away after Bronze Age remains were found at a Cumbrian site in England. West Coast Energy has applied to build 9 335-foot-high wind turbines at Barrier Hill near Greystoke in Penrith. The proposals have attracted strong opposition, with local people joining together to fight the wind farm plans. This week, they claimed an early victory after their concerns about the historical value of the site were upheld. It follows news that the Office of the County Archaeologist has now written to Eden Council planners to underline its significance. It's known that the Barrier Hill site contains ancient earthworks and the remains of Bronze Age cremation burials. However, the full scale and importance of these artefacts has not yet been fully defined. In a letter to Planning Officer Malcolm Johnson, Assistant Archaeologist Jeremy Parsons called for the energy company to fund a detailed study. He recommends that a full archaeological survey is carried out before any application can be considered. The results would give the county archaeologist and English Heritage a clear indication of what lies below the land, and whether or not they should protect the site using scheduled monument status. The Barrier Hill Wind Opposition Group are now hoping that the plans will be thrown out without the need for a lengthy planning battle. They believe that as well as Bronze Age remains, there may well also be other important discoveries at the site, which has views across to the Castle Rigg Stone Circle near Keswick. Samantha Crosby, West Coast Energy's project manager, confirmed that they were aware of the latest request and were more than happy to comply. She explained that a standard survey had already been completed and a more detailed evaluation of the site would get underway in the new year. Of course, I actually do have to point out here, being a development control archaeologist myself, that this is standard procedure and does not really mean that the site has been sunk forever. It only means that the company must carry out a more detailed piece of work to see if there's a way of avoiding disturbing the archaeology. So more news on that later. It's a big thing just now, wind farms, how they do impact upon the archaeology and the setting of the archaeology. Two new studies suggest reindeer meat went from an occasional treat to an everyday fare amongst prehistoric people who lived in both southwest France and in the areas that are now the Czech Republic. The first study, authored by J. Tyler Faith, analysed bones found in limestone caves and rock shelters at a site called Grotte 16 in the Dordogne region. The numbers and types of bones revealed a wealth of information and details about populations of the animals themselves. It was observed that around 65,000 years ago, the Neanderthal cave dwellers only brought back the choicest reindeer cuts. The meat seems to multiply over the years, so that by 12,285 years ago, virtually all parts of the reindeer were being eaten, with the animals constituting 90% of large game mammals. Donald Grayson, a University of Washington anthropologist who has also extensively studied the French site, said that the new study is important, insightful, and innovative. I can never say that word. Innovative. The pollen record for the region, which reflects past vegetation, shows ever-decreasing summer temperatures favoured more and more by reindeer, which thrive under cooler conditions. A separate study, published in this month's Antiquity, describes two decorative art pieces from Predmoste that were carved on bone that was most likely reindeer. Rebecca Farbstein, who co-authored the paper with Jiri Svoboda, admitted that the small size and fragmentary nature of the pieces make interpretation about their meaning speculative. Farbstein, a researcher in the Department of Archaeology at University of Cambridge, and her colleague have determined that the bones were covered with a distinctive grid pattern on one side. Local historian Alan Bryden has been instrumental in protecting a site of significant archaeological importance which dates back thousands of years. The ancient site at Midshields, about 4 kilometres southwest from Hoyk in Scotland, comprises a standing stone that is reportedly 4,000 years old, and also an ancient burial mound. They were both under threat due to the renewal of power lines and poles in the area. However, Alan's quick thinking ensured that the slight remains were left undisturbed. He said, knowing that the archaeological importance of the area, he had been watching the progress as poles were being re-erected, and since the new lines and poles were running parallel to the old ones, it appeared that they would comfortably miss the enclosures. However, on Thursday afternoon, just before dusk, he noticed that a marker post had been planted right in the middle of the enclosure. Alarm bells rang in his head because it was the next pylon to be installed. Unfortunately, they had stopped work for that day. But he soon realised that the next pole would be the first thing to be sunk in the following morning. He then spent a frantic night making phone calls to the Royal Commission, Historic Scotland, Councillor Stuart Marshall, Provost Sandra Elliott and several members of the Archaeological Society. Fortunately, next morning Alan managed to meet with two staff members from the contractor before they started work. Alan continued that he made contact with Rory MacDonald, Scottish Border Council's Archaeological Officer, and he immediately made his way over to Midshields. What followed was a model of diplomacy and common sense. That's Rory, if ever I know him. Both Mr. MacDonald and Charlie Dodds from Scottish Power were fully supportive and did their utmost to find a solution, which was eventually reached, resulting in a repositioning of the overhead power lines. Who knows what is underneath the site, but it would have been criminal to see a pole driven straight through it. So now it's going to be preserved. So there you go. The first thing to do is contact your county archaeologists. We're the ones that will actually listen to you. All the details are found on the Badger Directory, so there's a quick plug there as well. And of course, three cheers for Rory MacDonald, top archaeologist and friend. A 4,000-year-old clay tablet, authorities suspect was smuggled illegally from Iraq, was pulled from eBay just minutes before the close of the online auction. Criminal proceedings have been launched against the seller, identified only as a resident of Zurich, officials said. A German archaeologist spotted the tablet bearing wedge-shaped cuneiform script on the online auctioneer's Swiss website. The archaeologist alerted German authorities, who passed the tip on to Swiss counterparts. The actual auction itself, held on December the 12th, was only a few minutes from ending. Zurich police then confiscated a small tablet about the size of a business card from a storage facility. The tablet, which dates to around 2000 BCE, was with great probability smuggled out of Iraq illegally. Fisher said that the tablet has yet to be deciphered. Cuneiform tablets were used throughout the Middle East and ancient Persia during the last 3 millennia BCE for recording everything from great deeds of leaders to routine correspondence and bookkeeping. Authorities say that they will now establish the facts to see what to do with the object. If it's a tainted object, then the goal will be to return it to Iraq. The seller faces a fine of up to $430,000 or jail time if convicted of breaking Swiss embargo laws in the transfer of cultural goods. And talking of the transfer of cultural goods, it's nice to see Alex Salmond is trying to get back the Lewis Chessman. And the key piece there is the Lewis Chessman from Scotland. More on that, I hope, next week. And finally, before everything is lost to the sea around the island of Westray, Historic Scotland have been carrying out a thorough excavation to learn everything they can about the Links of Notland, an Orcadian Bronze Age site. The dig at the ancient dune-protected houses have now turned up an unexpected and impressive discovery dating to the Neolithic period, archaeologists have announced, following the conclusion of their work. A previously unknown Neolithic structure has been found, and it is very different from anything else known to exist at this remarkable site. Peter Yeoman, Historic Scotland senior archaeologist, explained that it was built using dressed stone and was clearly intended to look impressive from the outside. This marks it out from houses of the time, the exteriors of which tended to be created with function rather than looks in mind. However, there were some very special buildings, including certain tombs, where a great deal of architectural skill went into them. The structure is about 7 meters wide and even longer in length, but only part of it has so far been exposed. Excavations in the 1980s initially turned up a Neolithic building, but the nature of which has recently been found has surprised the contracted team of archaeologists from Ease Archaeology. Further work will be carried out to discover more about what its function in the site might have been. Notland is known to have been inhabited at several different times, and finds including polished bone beads, tools, grooved ware pottery identified the large structure as about 4,000 years old. It's now been backfilled to protect it from the winter storms. They've been able to gather a great deal of information about the Bronze Age houses that have been exposed by previous storms. At the time, they discovered even more about the Neolithic structure excavated by Dr. David Clark, and were delighted to find the measures taken by Historic Scotland to protect it had worked very well and kept it in excellent condition. They monitor the condition of this area very closely and will continue to do all they can to keep it as safe as possible. Post-excavation work will now take place in order to get the fullest understanding of the information gathered during the project. Links of Notland lies in the Grobust Bay on the north coast of Westray. It's an exceptionally important site, believed to be even more extensive than Skara Brae. So it just leaves me to say Happy Christmas to you all. I hope you didn't eat too much of the Christmas turkey. And look forward to the special New Year edition next week. Can I remind people that there are many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section. You can find that on Badger on www.bajr.org. And of course, Badger and Past Horizons both have fabulous blogs now. You can find them by typing either Badger blog or Past Horizons blog into Google. More can also be found, as ever, at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to this special festive edition of Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week.